Tonight is the start of our second part of the study of evolution creation, dealing with biological things. And it's the first half of this lesson, examining biology without Darwin. You know, the main view of society, the main thing that is taught in textbooks, in colleges, in schools, is evolution. Evolution states that everything we see around us evolved by slow, gradual change over millions of years by random processes. This is a picture that was taken from the Encyclopedia Britannica. And it shows, according to this, it's 650 million years ago, that little one-celled animals suddenly appeared. And that they changed into more complex things, which changed into more complex things, which turned into the animals and eventually man at the top of the pyramid. The problem with that is that anyone who doesn't accept that is looked upon as anti-science, a denier, or ignorant. Or if you question it, you are said to be someone who has no sense. And yet, while evolution affects the worldview of evolutionary biologists, matter of fact, they're the ones that write the books. They're the ones that say everything came from evolution. Evolution can explain everything. When they do their day-to-day work in biology, they don't use evolutionary theory. They can check the plants. They can grow things. They can discover these antibodies, the vaccines for viruses, they can do all of those things without ever considering evolution at all. I remember in college, I took a class called calculus. I got it on my resume. I don't remember much about it, and I never use it. It's sort of like these scientists here. They say, oh, we believe in evolution. It can explain everything. But when they go to work every day, they never use it. It's just one of those things that people say in order to avoid dealing with God and with His creation. So why would they insist on promoting evolution when it has a lot of unanswered questions? Questions like this one that was posed by a respected scientist called Dr. Paul Davies of Arizona State. He said, how can stupid atoms spontaneously write their own software? And where did this particular form of information come from to get the first cell up and running? Nobody knows. Well, we can't explain how this happens. It just happened, is what he's saying. And so, since we say it just happened, you have to believe it. You see, evolution can't be explained by the facts that we see around us, by the biological facts, by observations that you do in the laboratory. You can't see evolution happening. Evolution is based on the idea that one creature becomes another because the new thing that it made is better. Survival of the fittest. And so, you know, we started as a one-cell animal, and then a two-cell animal was better than one. So we got two-celled animals, and then multi-celled animals were better than two. And so it kept growing and growing until we came to man. And eventually the evolutionist says man will turn into something better. Well, yes, we will when we get to heaven. We'll have a new body, one that won't decay, one that won't perish. We will get something better. But I don't think that's what the evolutionist has in mind. So, if evolution requires something to get better, how can it get better? You know, I mean, you could draw pictures and say this turned into this, but where's the proof? How can that happen? The evolutionists say that it happens because of mutation. Over millions of years, the genes, and we're going to have a whole lesson about genetics and DNA and how that works here in a couple weeks. The genes changed. And as the genes changed, it changed the way the animal looked, the way it functioned. Well, genes can change in three ways. They can change by substitution, which means you have an original DNA sequence, and one of the chemical bases in it got messed up. It switched. And so it changes. Something like that would be what happens when they have mutations in a fruit fly. You see three fruit flies there. There's the original fruit fly. There's a fruit fly that's called bar-eyed because the gene that controls its eye shape got changed. And so it had weird-shaped eyes that don't work as well, by the way. Can't find the fruit, so it dies off. And then there is wingless fruit flies. Well, that'll really be great. Can't fly at all. And so, yeah, they're different, but notice they're all fruit flies. They didn't change in anything else. Another way that mutations occur is what's called insertion. They start off with a genetic sequence, and then a series of chemical bases gets inserted into your genes. Something is added that shouldn't be there. And, well, it might end up something like that two-headed turtle that we have in the second picture there. Still a turtle, but how is that better to survive? Maybe it can eat twice as fast, I don't know. But you see, it doesn't give it any advantage. Or deletion. We start out with a common sequence, and part of it gets destroyed, wiped out somehow. Something happens that messes up the genetics. And so the DNA is shortened. And so when it produces something, well, here's a picture of a fruit fly face. It's supposed to have antenna on it. But the part that said put an antenna on the face got taken out, and so this fruit fly had legs growing out of its head. Now, that's going to help it survive. You see, those are all kinds of mutations. Or a white frog. Its normal coloring got changed because of a mutation. How's that going to help it survive? You think that thing's going to be harder to see hiding on a tree trunk?
No, it's going to be,
and it's going to be easier and get eaten.
Easier for predators.
Or here's a child's hand. Has a genetic mutation and some of the fingers grew together. How does that help the person to survive? You see, that's what evolution says. Mutation made things better. But a geneticist by the name of Kimura came up with a chart here. Whoops, there it is. Where he plotted all of the known mutations that we have. That's the line going up here from the side up to the middle. In the center of the chart was a no selection zone. That means any mutations that occurred in there didn't make any difference in the animal. No noticeable change, good or bad, it just didn't make a difference. The only ones that actually made changes in things were on the harmful side. We have not found any mutations in all the time we've been studying these that made an animal better. When something mutates, it gets worse. It loses something. So what do they say about the COVID-19 virus? It's mutating. It's going to get worse. No. When it mutates, it gets less viable. It gets less infective.
Less powerful.
Less powerful, exactly. That's what mutations do. They make things worse. They don't make things better. But the evolutionist says, that's how we got everything we have today. Over millions of years it mutated, and it may not be making good things now, but it did in the past. Well, if it did in the past, why is it not doing it now? You see, it just doesn't make sense. For many years, biologists have rejected God's design in nature, saying that everything that we see around us is just random junk created by evolution. And they refer to things such as the human eye. This is how the evolutionist explains how the eye came about. The evolutionist says, well, at one time in the deep dark past, a nerve came to the surface and there just happened to be some photoreceptors there where the nerve attached. And so this creature in the deep dark past had some way of the light being sensed. And then as time passed, that area sunk in. And so we had a creature that had something looked like that on it. And as time passed, that area became more closed and rounded, and the photoreceptors went around the edges, and then it got closed off and sealed up with the fluid, another mutation, making it better. And then a cornea went on the outside, and the lens developed inside, and then we had the iris and all of the muscles and everything else, and so we end up with the eye that we have today. Took him millions of years just by random changes, by mutations, by chance. Why would they say that that's random junk? I mean, you look at that and you say, wow, look at that form. Here's why they say it. You know, in the back of your eye is a thing called the retina that allows you to see. It's made up of, if you remember a little bit of high school science, it's made up of rods and cones. The rods are these things here, allow you to see black and white. The cones come in three colors, green, red, and blue. If you have all of them, you see all your colors. If you don't have all of them, you're colorblind in certain areas. But the rods and cones are in the retina, and they allow you to see black and white and color and all the things that we see. The evolutionist says, look where they are located. They're located at the back of the eye. The light's coming in here, and those things are way in the back. Said, if a God had created this, he would have put them up front. As it is, the light has to go all the way through this, all the way through all this stuff to even get to them. That's junk. That's just evolutionary junk. Or another example. They say this. You know that tailbone that you have? That tailbone used to be a tail. It's just what's left over from the tail. Because they said, well, we don't see any use at all for that tailbone. It had to be just something from the evolutionary past that we no longer need. Well, a little further study on it shows that there's a whole lot of stuff around that tailbone. But I don't want to say too much because that's the second part of our study here. And then the evolutionist says this. Where did birds come from? Well, birds came from dinosaurs. As a matter of fact, the chicken is related to the T-Rex. The T-Rex turned into a chicken over millions of years. I mean, look at those skeletons. Can't you just tell that those two are related? Don't they just look exactly like one another? And, well, the chicken has feathers. This has scales. So scales had to turn into feathers. How did they do that? How does evolution explain it?
Cold blood to warm
blood. Well, we've got a video that I want to show here. We want to see half of it this week and the second half next week. This particular half is going to deal with these three things that I just talked about. So let's see if I can bring this up. This is a video that is from Answers in Genesis. The guy that is presenting it, I think, is a pretty good presenter.